Reconfiguration of various entities of government. Center and Almaz Emergent Department of Communication. This presentation takes into account the fact that there are still numerous discussions going on that seek to align our mandate. Upon the finalization of the overall strategy of the new ministry, we will therefore be able to make the changes that will bring them to your attention. It is important then to bring to your attention that GCIS has tabled its input to cabinet in terms of the national communication strategy framework, outlining key interventions that will rise in a new area of information revolution. I'm pleased to inherit an organization which has consistently received unqualified audits from Auditor General. This is an organization which has, despite its limited resources, managed to make sure that it keeps the nation informed within its limitations. Honorable members, you know that over the past financial year, GCIS achieved 105 out of its 112 targets, which is a demonstration of an organization network. We look forward to growing this organization and taking government communication to greater heights. Honorable members, the formation of this new ministry offers a new opportunity and resources that will enhance government communication during this political term. As we work on the reconfiguration, we are focused on ensuring that we put the right national alignment, the right people, the right spirit of delivery and efficiency, and the right energy to mobilize the nation around the implementation of the national development plan. Our program of communication will be designed to engage the good South African story in the hearts and the minds of South Africans. We will in the near future be able to provide further details after they have been finalized. Today, I've just brought a team of GCIS led by the acting CEO, Ms. Tumla Williams, to present the APP of this financial year to the committee. The presentation will also be made by the leadership of the MDDA for your program, that includes the SABC, Brand SA, and ICAS. So, it's not a day for those teachers, it's just for this year to say we are ready to work with you, and then we'll be there all the time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mutambi, Minister.
Good afternoon, Chair. In the main vein, I'm being accompanied and able assisted by my colleague, the Deputy Minister. She's the chief as well. To congratulate you and the members for being appointed to this high office of Parliament, and for you in particular for leading the portfolio committee, which is related to the Special Club. In concurrence with that, Comrade Sami said, is that we are in a transition. We are, what has happened, all in the ministry that we formed, we have not gone to the extent, the president has not gone to the extent of all the departments and the actual allocation of funds. But we have got a broad understanding. Once that process is finalized, I'm sure the presentations which are pushing today will come with amendments to the 82. So we'll just add the members to be patient a bit to await the process which is unfolding with the presidency, assisted by a technical team. We are trying to finalize the process as quick as possible. Just to say, the work which has been done by committee is in line with what we actually have been trying to see what should inform this APP. The government has got a medium-term strategic framework which they claim this. So the MTMF will inform by and large what we'll be doing in the next 5 years, or in particular for this annual performance plan, what needs to be done. But as you also remember, we've got the National Development Plan, which puts certain tasks which need to be done and targets to be met. And it also incorporates, as you see, when the officials are presenting, those tasks which emanate from the National Development Plan, which is a long-term vision. We'll move to long-term vision. Of course, the state of the nation address will also impact, but it's not limited to what is the state of the nation address. Just to say, now the Minister of Telecoms and Postal Services, what we understand is the action task which needs to be done, by just looking at the broad telecoms, is to continue with the project which the committee, the previous parliament was looking at, and the previous ministries were looking at, and cooperating with the other ministries until the functions are set and finalized. The key outcome is how do we ensure that the cost to communicate alone. That's how we'll be judged. That's how we'd like to be judged in the future, whether the extra cost to communicate with the Lord. To comparable levels, such as with African countries and other developing countries. The other key outcome which we'll be trying to fulfill is how do we ensure that there is affordability, as we have said, in terms of cost, but also access of these services. as members will know, the key thing here is the process. It's been spoken many times, but the key question is, for those who stay in outskirts of Limpopo, Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal, they may not have the rollout of the process. And it's going to be a critical infrastructure which needs to be monitored, because it is an infrastructure which can deliver and assist both business and government to deliver a content which should be useful for the development of the people, including those who are marginalized and businesses, especially small and medium enterprises and rural businesses. As you heard also, the turnaround of the court office is what will be as the ministry following very their long-term sustainability travel, that it is not totally dependent. However, we have to look at the impact of the service obligations which are put by the license, and what are the impacts of those. We hope the regulator will be looking into those matters. But the key, as is announced, we need to extend the banking services to the unbanked and those people who are living in marginalized areas. If you look at small towns, people really don't have access to finance, even those who want to start their business. In the farming community, in the township, but the post office has got infrastructure in all these areas. And that's why then the process of which was started of the drawing of the cooperation of the post bank is going to be quite critical. But I'd like to stress that that cooperation of the post bank will be heavily dependent on the functioning South African post office as a holding company. There are all sorts of rules and requirements which we need to comply with, and we are in the first stage of this cooperation of the cost and grade. The application has been made to the regulator, which is the reserve bank in this case, and we are waiting the initial responses. And what will unfold, you can explain the officials later on, may take quite a some time, a minimum of a year, to fully achieve the equal target. The other key problem we think will have impact on our operations is the whole concept, without going to specific, the e-governance. By e-governance, we're just saying we must move beyond the connectivity of certain state institutions. And the focus has been really on the connectivity of some of the schools. And the aim is to try and make sure that key government departments, where there is a public interface with the people, are connected in the long term. So the focus will really be the schools and looking specifically on the marginalized area, rural area, township, and the informal segment. But as you know, the e-health, in the e-health, the starting phase will be in the pilot project of the NHR, National Health Insurance, that we try and connect those areas so that they can be able to deliver a reasonable content to implement the e-health in those areas where they are piloted. As we continue to improve the rollout, we will have to look at how we work with other frontline departments like social development, like deliver their services, like this one is smart card, the Home Affairs, so that all the people can receive these smart cards easily at the time. The police, the justice department. So our role is to coordinate in these frontline departments. The aim really would be to cut down people who are standing online and not working, waiting just to fill forms. Because once people are connected, they can fill the forms online, and that's what you can minimize the time they spend. Like the transport departments, where people find a lot of people queuing. But I'll speak about the stages. As you know, the cabinet adopted the broadband policy, South Africa Connect last year. And that's what is going to be guiding that we must start implementing the policy, the South African Connect policy. The other two aspects of connecting that policy is not the infrastructure, yes, but it's how then we empower the people to be able to use these technologies. So the issue of e-skill strategy is going to become quite critical. On, we start also educating the public, and always tell my deputy that I'm not worried about young ones. They are very quick to learn. Mm-hmm. People like me and her who are not quick to learn this, and yet it is so important that all of us are looking forward to honorable members where we develop application for members of Parliament. Because it should be you, not accept from somewhere with these content to get those applications, but you can make your work much easier and so on. So the skills for the youth and the skills for businesses in this sector is going to be quite critical in the next 5 years. So I thought I should just mention those are the key high level priorities. At once we know the final allocation of tasks and functions will come back to the Parliament and amend the APP, which is the president today, accordingly. I thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. Honourable members, we move straight to the presentation, because I sense that once there's just been an overview of their thoughts and what is coming through, it is important for us to hear the presentations. We are going to start with Ms. Williams with a presentation from GCIS. I hope you'd introduce your team. I hope it's big. I'm not comfortable with things. I must say up front. I hope it's as minimum as it can be in terms of preventing. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Can I also just join with the ministers congratulating the members of parliament? And but importantly for us as GCIS, we're looking forward to this committee because I think it is the committee that is taking us this far in terms of guidance and leadership. So we're looking forward to working with the committee as we move forward. Chairperson, we only have a team of three people that are going to be presenting. That's myself, Kumla Williams, I'm the acting CEO, and I'm accompanied by my colleague, Ms. Nibu Lehwade, who's the deputy CEO, responsible for the stakeholders, and I've got Mr. Harold Maluka at the back, who's responsible for our content writing, and I'm then followed by Mr. Kitu Simakane, who's responsible for governance. And we also have my colleagues who's responsible for performance monitoring, but she's not doing the presentation, Ms. Zugiswa Koye. What I am going to do, Chairperson, we've divided the presentation and we're not going to take more than 20 minutes in the presentation. I am just going to give the highlights of the presentation. I'm not going to be going through the new ministries. I think Minister Mutambi is now our new minister, and we have our Deputy Minister, Mr. Landa Beni Abraham. Chairperson, our APP, which is for 2014-2015, is premised on this message that we're flashing here, 20 years of freedom, celebrating the good story of South Africa. And I think we're flashing it because it is a message that we have been carrying from last year, and we're carrying it along this year because it is the year that we feel that South Africans need to reflect. What have we achieved as a country, and what are the challenges that we have as a country as we move forward? And our message this year is revolving around this message, and we're saying as we move forward, we're trying to get South Africans to get involved, because this country cannot be changed on its own. It can only be changed by South Africans, and that is why our theme, Chairperson, is that together we're moving South Africa forward, because we do want to say young people need to get involved in taking the country forward. Just to highlight the key areas, the strategic overview of our messaging, Chairperson, what we are saying with our messaging to South Africans is that fight against poverty, unemployment, and inequality demands an intensive communication of trying to show South Africans what are the opportunities and what are the blockages in dealing with the issues of poverty, unemployment, and inequality. We also are saying that our messaging in communication is premised on the program of action of this government, which is taking the national development plan forward. And lastly, Chairperson, the strategic overview as we have it is that we are alive to the digital and mobile communication in our space. I think we are faced with a challenge as government communication to begin to embrace the digital and mobile communication, especially if we are wanting to really reach out to young people. I think we're saying that young people need to take responsibility of their lives and of our country, and for us to win this battle, we need to begin as we communicate to embrace the issue of that digital and mobile communication. The one other aspect that I'm going to highlight is our mandate. Chairperson, as we have, I think the two ministers have pointed out that we are in the process of the configuring the two departments, but this mandate is based on the GCIS as it exists in the stretch plan, that we are responsible for providing the strategic leadership in government communication across the departments, and we go as far as saying even municipalities, we strive to say, let us make sure that we communicate one message as government. And the second mandate that we have is that we are responsible for coordinating this system of government communication across the 3 tiers of government. I'm not going to talk a lot because there is going to be a presentation. Chairperson, As GCIS, we have this entity called Media Development and Diversity, and our responsible, in essence, is providing the legally guide the performance of this department. But I think the CEO, and I think maybe there will be an acting CEO who will be coming to make a presentation in this, so I'm not going to really talk that much. Chairperson, we have a mission and vision and values, but I think it's still, they are still the same. But what we want to highlight here is that as we do our work, we are really driven by our vision of saying we are a pulse of communication excellence in government. And whatever we do, we strive to ensure that excellence comes out in whatever we do. And I think it is for that reason that today we even have an unqualified audit, because I think whatever we seek to do, when we set ourselves targets, we strive to do exactly that, meet the targets as we had committed them in this committee, and we strive to do exactly that. We've got five key strategic objectives. Chairperson, if you just to highlight them, the one which is a very important one which we want to say is that to professionalize communication system will remain a challenge for us as government as we proceed. And what we try to do over the years, we have done a lot of work in trying to make sure that we do engage with what does it mean to be a professional communicator in the public service. And I think it is a strategic objective that we have been trying to do. One of the second objective is maintaining and strengthening a well-functioning communication system, and also to ensure that we do an effective and efficient communication system. That's one of our strategic objectives. And I think I want to just emphasize this, that for information to be relevant, it has to be disseminated at the right time to the right audience. And I think that's what we strive to do. As we do our communication, we need to strive to ensure that we disseminate information as effectively as we possibly can with the limited resources that we have. And I think we can even say here, Chairperson, that we've not achieved the most effective, but I think we've done the best with the limited resources that we have. And the fourth strategic objective that we strive to is to enhance the image of the government and that of the state. We've done a lot of work around this. I think we can engage with some of it when Harold talks to the content and the work that we've been doing. And lastly, our most important is the responsible and cost-effective, compliant and a business-focused organization. I think we've tried to do a lot of work around this, and that is why with the office that is headed by Zuliswa Poje, we have tried to make sure that whatever we do it in a most cost-effective and efficient manner through a monitoring of what we do at all times. And my last question, Chairperson, is just to highlight the organogram of GCIS. We've got four branches, and I think one of the offices is headed, is vacant, as you will see it there. But in the main, this is the top-level management of GCIS. And at this point, I will hand over to Harold Manuka, who's going to talk to the content and processing. So over to you, Harold.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members, Minister Mthambi, Minister Swele, and two deputy ministers. In this branch, this is a branch that is responsible to ensure that the entirety of government firstly speaks in one voice, and secondly that does coordinate the messages, and we are consistent to ensure that we're consistent and that we do have the product that makes us relevant to speak to all levels of government, whether they're young people, whether they're the traditional means of communication, and so on. So we do have a section that we call products and platforms. So this is where we look at new ways of doing things and what products that we are producing are listed on the document itself, but to key to highlight is that we're quite big online. We do have a news agency that produces news on a daily basis. We run the government website on behalf of the entirety of government. We make sure that it's updated, does have the right features, does have the right content, and the services that government does produce. Secondly, But also, think on print, we do have the largest newspaper in the country, which is the Zelo, which is, we print about 1.7 million copies a month, which gives you about a total of about 20.4 million of such copies a year. And that obviously does not cover the entire view of the country, but we are looking at new ways of how we can be able to grow that so that we can reach every community that we need to do. We have a what we would call the encyclopedia of government information that we update every year. We distribute, which is distributed to all schools, to our embassies, but we also make it available electronically, and we call it the South African Yearbook. And that yearbook looks at different chapters of what government are. On the next slide, we talk to what we have is the Public Sector Manager Magazine, which is this is magazine that speaks to the public sector managers. This is in response to the president's call that we've got over 1 million government employees. How do we tend them to become agents of government information so that they can become ambassadors of transmitting government messages in communities? We print 12,000 copies a month, and we have all the editions every month to make sure that we cover all different topics that are relevant to the public sector. Well, in the previous financial year, we tried to make sure that we begin to take the very same information into the retail sector. That is still a pilot that hopefully at some point it will gain ground. And as like we have said previously, that we are mindful of the fact that we are operating in an environment that is becoming digitized. And if we were to become relevant and speak to all sectors of our society, we need to make sure that we are in all of them, including Facebook, Twitter, Mixit, YouTube, Flick, and all of these platforms. We want to make sure that one day when we're sitting here, we should not be projecting, but we should see every member looking at what we're talking about on an iPad, which was the Minister as well, I'm sure we'll be able to provide such technology, from what the Minister has said. But the essence of it is that we want to make sure that government information is available at a particular period within short time frame. The next slide also, we talk about, we make sure that the government information is also responsive to the trends within society, within the media industry, and the demand for information from our own communities. So we do media monitoring, we do make sure that we write content, we produce such content, but we also try to make sure that the leadership is aware of any other trend of information that is emerging in the media from all sectors at the same time. Thirdly, we also try to make sure that the research that we conduct, including the media trends, are produced into some kind of a newsletter that we call Insight, which is meant to assist all departments and all communicators, that whatever that they're communicating, they need to be aware of. As we push your own narrative, there's a particular counter narrative that you need to respond to, but at the same time to take advantage of the new trends that are emerging. We have a 24-hour media monitoring service, and we provide that to the entirety of government to ensure that we respond in a positive manner, but at the same time we monitor when our own narrative is emerging as the executive. The next slide, we do conduct research. Any communication that is done as a free and fair approach would not necessarily result in any outcome if it's not scientifically researched. We want to make sure that every message that we put out, every communication that we put out is researched and appeals to the very same target audience that we want to target. Like when I made a reference to Vuvuzela, our target is the LSM 1-5, and those are the young people. Those are people in the lower level of the economic strata, and we want to make sure that as we distribute, our distribution strategy firstly reaches the right people. But secondly, that Gogo sitting in Umlazi under a tree in her own home is receiving information that is relevant, because that would also tell us from research what type of information they are actually looking for. We also have an annual document that we produce. We produced the first one last year. We hope to produce another one this year, which is the media landscape. That gives a sense of how the media landscape in the country is sitting. And that we will definitely be ready to produce it as well within a short space of time. Those are the elements
through both mediated and unmediated communication and sound stakeholder relations. And this relationship that we're talking about here is at national, provincial, as well as at local level. But our stakeholders in some cases also include international media as well. We have four programs, sub-programs. One is the provincial and local library, which is we have offices in all the 9 provinces as well as 54 districts and municipalities. What is you, for instance, last week cabinet approved the national communications strategy. What we will do, we present the national communications strategy at national, provincial, and local level to ensure that there is proper alignment of messaging. And at provincial and local level, we make sure that we do joint planning and executions of communications campaigns. How we do that, we in most cases use development communications approach where we engage directly with the public. We'll do make sure that we distribute the materials that Harold was talking about. We are also part of our responsibility is to make sure that we distribute those materials at activations, including the seminars. In some cases, we have door-to-door campaigns. We do mall or taxi activations. We have even diesel, and in some cases, as was the case with the inauguration or the State of the Nation, we use big screens for the people and the communities to actually be able to participate and know exactly what government is doing. The other important thing that we are doing is that we have the social service centers, the one-stop government information and service centers. As a department and this branch in particular, we are responsible for making sure that we promote the services that are happening in the social service centers. We also are responsible for driving and coordinating the government's Ibizo program, making sure that ministers, premiers, as well as the local municipality fiscal principals go to communicate communities and engage with them. In actual fact, the week of 14th to the from the 14th to the 20th is going to be the Ibizo focus week. So political principals across the board will be going out there and engaging with them. The next program, sub-program that we are managing is the media engagement. With the sub-program that is responsible for building relationships with all media, both nationally, internationally, the Press Gallery Association here in Parliament, as well as a community media. This sub-branch, amongst others, every time when we have a cabinet, there has been cabinet, they make sure that they coordinate media briefings so that the cabinet experience can be shared with the South Africans in general using the media to showcase them. We also hold daily rapid response meetings every day without pay, where we look at the media, both print and electronic, looking at what is media saying about government, and we prepare ourselves and proactively respond to issues that need government response in the media. The other important thing that we are doing is that we are coordinating communicators. There are different communications forums at national, provincial, and local level. These forums are largely for planning and streamlining of government campaigns and messages. And then lastly, we, in order to promote SADC agenda in the country, we share information and we make sure that we, amongst others, promote the SADC media awards. But it is our interest to make sure that the South African public know and understand the SADC agenda. But also, if there are things that are in South Africa that have got interest to members in SADC countries, we make sure that we share the information with them. And those are being translated in the SADC languages, English, French, and Portuguese. The last two sub-programs, and it's only that it's one program, but this one is the cluster communications. We've got two chief directorates that are responsible for the clusters, one for human and social cluster, as well as the governance and administration cluster. The other is responsible for the justice and crime prevention, the international as well as the economic and infrastructure. These clusters, again, also, once we've presented, developed the national communication strategy, they will make sure that they also, amongst others, share with the cluster departments to make sure that we develop cluster communication strategies to make sure that the departments, once they have also developed their own strategies, we help them to coordinate and support with messaging and also including leadership on street cluster communication issues and campaigns. Harold mentioned the public sector manager that is being shared with all the public sector. But one of the things that we do also is that we have an internal communications, internal government communications forum, which ensures that all the messages, key messages, campaigns, programs, policies of government are shared internally with the public servants, because we believe that the public servants are also the ambassadors who are supposed to understand what government is doing so that they can be able to articulate that better. So it is our responsibility to share that information with them.
Thank you. Hello.
Chairperson, if I may also come back, I'm also responsible for what we call the communication service agency, which is its responsibility to ensure that government expenditure when it comes to communication realizes the economies of scale. And this has to do with the advertising and production, the photography, the video, and all the products that we actually produce. And this has, when we began, it was quite a slow process, but now it has gained momentum. Most of our clients are coming through us in their numbers, and we are indeed able to save money for government in large quantities, and also be able to replicate the opportunities that we find through them. We are also responsible for radio production. We do have a radio show that we run through the connection of community radio stations. We do have studios here in Cape Town, both in Pretoria, where we take the leadership to discuss with people in different languages on matters that are of interest to government, to the people, but also interest to people themselves. We also design different campaigns from a look and feel, and to ensure that it's in the right communities. This section is also responsible for distribution. And like I said earlier on, our distribution strategy needs to be informed. We need to reach people in the right spaces, so using different languages. We do provide photography. If you were to open most of the newspapers, you'll realize that most of government photos or government events, the photos that are in those newspapers are done by government. And that is the unit that we are responsible for. We also have most of the productions of what government is doing, putting them on YouTube and on those platforms that I especially spoke about. And the most recent of those such campaigns was the State of the Nation address itself and the inauguration of the President himself. Make sure that we created that good look and feel itself. So that is the other part of the work that we're doing as outlined by the slide. Thanks.
The last is the corporate services issue.
Thank you very much, Pumla. Thanks very much, Chairperson. Our two ministers and the deputy ministers, honorable members. The program that I'm going to present is the one that provides overall management and support to the department. After all the programs that have been presented to the honorable members, I think the money part of it, as well as the personnel part of it, is very, very important. The total budget that has been allocated for this current financial year is 400 million. one, and we have divided it among all the various sections that consume the budget. And I'm not going to go through them one by one, but just to highlight the ones that are consuming a lot. When you look into the office accommodation, it takes almost 3/3 of that amount. It is 42.1 million rand, and I must hasten to say here that, like the CEO has indicated earlier on, we have moved to a new building, which is unlike in the previous years where we had a very small building which was not consuming a lot. And this includes also our 9 provincial offices as well as our district offices. That is why we have that amount. And again, if you look at information technology, I think it also takes a lot. The building that we are in is a highly technical building in terms of technology, and we had to invest a lot of money in making sure that we maintain that. And then with regard to personnel in that program, we have about 60 million. Moving to program number 2, which is content processing, I think also it has got a number of cost drivers there. The highest one is content and writing, which is about 39.2 million rand. And I must extend also to say that this is because of the printing of books and Zelle, as well as its distribution, and you can see that it takes quite a time. And like Harold has indicated, we do a lot of research, and you can see the 10 million rand that is consumed by that program. Then program number 3, which is intergovernmental coordination and stakeholder management, I think it has got a number of cost drivers also, but the highest one that is consuming a lot of operational cost there is the communication and information project in the provincial offices. Like I've indicated, we've got 9 of them, we've got staff that are there, and their operational cost consumed a lot there. And then like the first slide indicated, we've got an MDDA, which is our agency, which takes about 21 million on an annual basis. And then the personnel at the program takes 71.5 million rand. Then the last program, which is program 4, Communication Service Agency, which Mr. Maloka presented, I think the total budget there is indicated 50 million, but the bulk of it is taken by Media Valtime, which takes about 18.1 million rand. I think all in all, that is the total budget that has been allocated for this financial year. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Honourable members, we are going to engage with the input made by GCIS. As I said earlier on, I would prefer to have members indicating so that we know the allocated time we are going to be able to take in terms of the questions and responses that we're going to have. Obviously, we are taking this presentation in line with the documents distributed, the strategy plan, and the annual performance. I don't know if there are members that we want to speak. If you can come into the project. Honorable Shane, I'm right, isn't it? Okay. Thank you, just want to let me just note that I'm seeing Honorable Sotesi. Honourable, I'll start that side and come this way. Honourable Kekana, Honourable Madisha, then I'll end. My mind is very slow this afternoon.
Thank you. I just wanted some clarity. Is this also the opportunity for us to interact with the ministers?
Yes, ministers would respond obviously to some of the issues. Sorry? No, remember, you are engaging based on the presentation that has been made. We are engaging on the GCIS presentation. And I hope we'll not go into the earlier discussion in the morning about the separation of the departments.
I'm just trying to be cautious so that we don't get into that terrain of separation of the departments. I know they tried to try and give sort of a hint. We are not yet there. We are dealing with the current status. I hope I've clarified. You can have things that are going to be answered by ministers, but let's not dwell into the future. I'm not restricting you.
Thank you for all the presentation. My question is on the filling of the CEO post. That it has been vacant for some time, but I'm not sure how long it has been vacant. Given the crucial functions performed by the CEO, if you can get an indication in terms of the time frame, when is this post going to be fully engaged? And also take into consideration the fact that if a person is in an acting position for a long time, it can affect one's performance for some level of uncertainty. If you're not certain about the position, you're not sure whether to move forward or backward. And also on the distribution of the, you know, technology items to the schools. In the past, we came across a situation where the computers are distributed to schools and they were not utilized because they were needed to computerization. So in this case, if we take stock of, you know, identify the schools where we think the guys will be fully utilized because there must be someone facilitating and not them to be kept there, not being used. So far,
thanks, Honorable Kubai. I'm personally covered, but mine is first. I wanted to say that maybe it's good for the management to know that before they come to present this to us, we must get this document 7 days before. They should write it out that 7 days before so that we'll be able to interrogate this. And in promoting a national development plan, we know that the president is concerned about the rate of unemployment. So that I wanted to know how many vacant posts did they have. And then I saw many acting and how long those people should act. Thank you.
With your directives, the kind of becomes quite difficult. What one was meant to raise is what.
I want you to go ahead and raise. Don't be restricted. I was just cautioning, let's not dwell into. I was trying to not to restrict you on our magistrate, but just to try and guide our way.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I must start by congratulating. Minister and Deputy Minister, the kind of direction you say will be taken to take our country forward. So thank you for that. I have listened to, you know, both presentations, and that which you covered can be put into one. Before you came, the people, the auditors, sat here and you know, gave an input. And that which they put was actually the same. It covered both arms. And that is the idea. When we did, the minister here says, we are taking over, everything is okay. And the auditors are saying everything is fine, etc. When they gave an input, there was an indication that there are problems here and there. Problems which the earlier included the fact that the leadership instability, like leadership instability regarding, amongst others, lack of proper management at all identified institutions, such as SABC, etc. That is one of the major problems that we have. Secondly, they have indicated that the ministers kept on saying they will appoint and improve, etc., etc. People, but that was not done for over very many years, and that has affected the running of this particular institution. They've indicated again that if you were to take, for example, SABC, no proper structure, no skills, no proper reports were given even to the CFO, and that is a major problem that is there. So they have indicated, in short, that only if my leader there, the minister says, everything is okay, insofar as the wish she has taken is concerned, their indication is that there are problems within that milieu. Unless, again, and I wish to emphasize, and I've looked again, Chairperson, into the wish they gave us, okay? I don't blame you when you say everything is fine. But then the wish they gave us, actually, is an antithesis of that which you're putting on the table. So I believe that there is a problem, and if that could be clarified, that would be okay. Then we'll be able to go on. So emphasize that only if it is said that everything is fine, insofar as the finances, is concerned, again, insofar as the management is concerned, they actually are focused in line with what the auditors here were saying.
Thanks. Thank you very much, Chair. Also, again, my congratulations to both ministers and the minister. I think I was covered in some on the issue of the Exim post. The other issue that has always concerned me is it is one department that will talk about also that is responsible or can help the country in the issue of the social cohesion. The issue of sexual home centers is probably can share with us who is the candidate for the sexual home centers. And last, with the personnel that has figures of personnel, how many of those are women, how many of young people and people with disabilities? Do you comply with the 2% expectation as the policy? And also the budget? Is there consideration for women, youth and people with disabilities? Thank you very much.
The last one will take on our own project.
Thank you very much. I'm sure that what we're doing is a form of introduction to each other and meditations and reflections about where the future going to go and how we're going to work and all those things. There's a fundamental pending issue, at least as far as the discussions try to arrive at the concern about, you know, what precisely is the division between the two departments, which makes the work of oversight, of course, very difficult. And I think that we must hear the reflection of the ministers in that regard, because there's a big public opinion that it was just a job creation scheme. So we must hear in what way it is going to advance communications in the country. I'd like to hear their reflections on that, although I'm waiting for the president.
We're not here when they did their math.
I did. I listened. I left when the people from GIS were speaking as the last speaker. Yeah, no, I was here. I would have thought you noticed. I want to hear. I mean, we are allowed to be provocative like that. So, and I think moving forward as well, I want to bring the following issues into attention, that these are the burning issues that we hope the ministries in their responsibilities are going to deal with. One is that, when are you firing Shambi? We need that process to be...
You are out of order.
What?
On a serious note, you know I'm laughing, but I'm not. You are seriously out of order. You see, we are on the process of dealing with the budget. Ne? Systematically, today, we're dealing with GCIS, and we are going to go to SABC on Friday. And I'm going to advise you to read the legislation that governs SABC before you come to that, because otherwise you're going to get us into trouble with your government as a committee. Remember now, your committee says no other party. Your committee is your own thing. Otherwise, we get us into trouble. So, let's focus on the task at hand.
So, okay, I'm even less. The minister was briefing us about their future plans and everything else. I'm not sure how to engage here, Chairperson. I need help. They did not, in their own introduction, speak necessarily about budget and all those things. It's the other presentations that did. I'm not sure how am I not allowed to reflect with them about integrity of the SABC and all those things, and the urgent restoration of the public confidence, particularly with firing. I will reserve my comments maybe for the SABC. I don't see any problem.
Let's do that. Let's reserve to engage, because I can question you where are you basing your comments on. Because there's not been anything No, thank you. I can ask you, what are you basing your comments on as a committee member? Because there hasn't been any report that comes to us as a committee or any presentation that comes to us that would allow you to formulate such an opinion. So that's why it's easier for me to say to you, rather reserve those comments, we have engagement with SABC. Look at what SABC is saying. Test to judge it, your own personal opinion that you formulated as an individual South African citizen, and then let's take it from there. I think let's suspend that one for now, and we can engage on other issues.
I know all of them are disruptive, I guess. That's fine.
Let's give Honorable Davis a comment, and then, okay. Remember, I'm going to ask us to be procedural, because remember that it's a money in time, so I've got two more hands. But I'm going to allow and then we're going to get into it, and then we'll give the chapter. You also have some questions that you want to get, and then get the responses.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Ministers, for your remarks, and thank you to the officials. I would just like to object to what the Chair was saying to the previous speaker, because we are here with the Ministers here today, and this is an opportunity for us to put questions to the Ministers to find out where they're taking their departments. And there's been some very worrying remarks made in the media by the Minister that she wants to centralise control in her office by reducing the number of board members at the SABC and by changing the way it is appointed and board members are removed. And I think that we deserve to have her comments on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is based on the DCIS structure. I see there is a full set of the Deputy Chief Executive Officer Communication Services Agency is not funded. I just want to understand why it's not funded. Is it not relevant? And how are you going to make sure that the rank of that Deputy Chief is done? And then the vacant one, when are you going to fill it? Do you have a certain time frame or what? And I hear that you say you are disseminating information that government is doing to people. I just want to understand how do you identify the languages, because we have different 11 official languages. So how do you identify that this place will need this language? Thank you. Just.
Just to thank good afternoon for those that I did not meet earlier on. We have been co-chairing since morning, so it's just a continuation, but really good afternoon, particularly also yourself, Minister. I just need to add some few questions on the issues that are raised. Particularly on the issues of what comes out from the Auditor General's report, the issue of the non-signatory of the settlement agreement within the department. That's one area which is a little bit problematic, and possibly in terms of we would have had that report a long time ago, and we might have acted along that. And then maybe the other last issue. Okay, let me leave it at that level, right? Because I think that one is a major thing in terms of us measuring performance. It starts by, possibly because of the area that I come from, you start by committing yourself that I'll do this to develop key performance indicators, and then thereafter you can be able to work. If what I was not done, you are measuring things on the work that you've actually committed yourself to do. The rest of the other issues, I think members have actually captured them. I brought them.
From my side, members and the team, I had a problem with the stress plan, specifically on the issues of non-quantifiable objectives. Secondly, the department of officials are going on a conservative target, but for me, I don't think they will assist Chief Liars to achieve objectives. One example, page 36 of the stress plan, where you talk about stakeholder engagement, you have limited to 4 per annum. How do you achieve 4 stakeholders? It means you have 1 per quarter in the entire country with 9 provinces. If you are to have an effective communication, surely 4 stakeholder engagement can't be enough. Now, what I'm saying for me is that you are very conservative in how you put your strategy plan, and I'm hoping the minister to take this opportunity to go back and review some of the targets. The second issue is when you go to page of the strategy plan again, I go with you at the page 20 of the strategy plan. Again, for me, it's a bit of a problem. I'm trying to understand when you look previously, specifically on risk management, the strike plan gives us that there is no baseline for 2012-2013. I'm not so sure what does that mean. Is it saying to us that there was no risk management policy at that particular time, and therefore we started with 2014 to 2015 to be able to risk management strategy and policy implementation. And second, you mentioned in line with the PFM. When was it developed? Because we need to develop the sense and therefore be able to put it in line. Again, go to page 9. Strat plan again. You look at what you are putting there as a performance indicator, full five-year strategic plan and alignment 3 via APP tables in Parliament and all those other things. And here my issue was you're saying as a baseline for 2012-2013. Tables 2013, 16 APP in Parliament on 13 March 2013 as required. Obviously, it could have been prior to elections. And in brackets there, you said, as there were no policy or mandate shifts, the five-year strategic plan was not reviewed or reviewed. And I'm not so sure when this is put. Are you saying in this, you are not anticipating the policy shift, the mandate shift? For one, it has been with the mandate shift. The fact that there's a new Department of Communication with a proclamation coming, might say something different, which already would, you have to clarify why did you specifically have to choose to put that in brackets, knowing that you are going into elections, and there can be, there is always a possibility. What was the anticipation from Chisaria on that? Page 15. That's why I talk about my quantifying on issues. If you are to reach a particular objective and say you want to have number of community and stakeholder liaison visits undertaken, shouldn't it be that you are able to specifically say that as a department or as GCIS, this is what we are hoping to achieve, this is what we want to achieve at a particular time. So I'm just making some of the examples which you just referred to other areas where I think that the structure is very conservative, does not go in detail in quantifying certain areas to say this is what we want. Where you quantify to say this is our target, we are very conservative. In other areas, it becomes to use it broadly. And the reason why I'm raising this is because it becomes difficult to do an oversight. How do we hold you accountable when it's not said, this is what we are going to do so much this time? Because the responsibility of this portfolio committee is to say, this is what we are expecting you to be able to do. We must be able to hold this document and say, this is what you have committed to do. But again, it has to be seen in line of what government is hoping to achieve. And if, as GCIS expected to communicate, conservative, and I'll say this because I'm happy we're also reflecting the issue of 20 years celebration. Part of the outcry is that at times we find people do not understand and know government's achievements because the communication is not there. It's not reaching where it's supposed to be reaching. Two last issues, just as general comments. One, Mr. Maluka has mentioned the issue of a radio station or a radio facility that is in Parliament, sitting with full equipment, I agree. Not sure who's responsible, underutilized. That studio is hardly utilized. The equipment that is sitting there is worth a lot. Non-utilization of that studio, whose responsibility is it? Is it GCIS? Where does it belong? Can we lease it out? Can we negotiate with Parliament to have it effectively running to serve the purpose if we are to engage, get members being interviewed, communicating directly with communities, because you can't have an excuse of sitting there doing nothing. Utilize a thing once in a while, hardly being utilized. Then the other thing I wanted to understand, what is the role of GCIS when it comes to other departments' communication departments? You find the same Department of Health, there's a communication team, the spokesperson, and how do we relate to those people? How do we ensure that they also communicate, because the issues about government communicating the same message might have many voices, but same message that is coherent and cohesive. what is the role of GCIS in trying to ensure that, and how often, I saw somewhere in your, you always talk about, I saw the training of provinces, where you're training provincial communicators, where you've trained counselors at some point, in terms of the level where they are because the national government is from. How often do we have trainings and how do we engage with them to ensure that there's really a crisis? Because sometimes we get shocked. We find one person from this department needs to go in that way and the other one will go and speak that way. How do we ensure, because I think that should be the role of GKN, to ensure that this crisis message that is coming from government. There's hands which have trainings and under pressure of time, because there's, I'm going to give you a second speech. Yes, Honorable Mitchell.
Yeah, Honorable Chair. Just program and administration under the content processing and dissemination. There's an amount of 39, almost 40 million rand budgeted for content and writing. I just want to know if these are freelancers, if these are employed people, how is this content generated? Because if I look at the number of publications, and unfortunately I do agree with my honourable colleague that the number of publications listed here doesn't seem to warrant that amount of content generation, certainly not 40 million rands worth. I can tell you that I used to pay writers 1 rand 50 a word. So that's a lot of words. That's a lot of words. And also that we're spending 45 million rand on personnel. So what are the personnel doing if they're not generating content? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Just with regard to government duties, I think it's an addition to the issue that you raised earlier on. To what extent do we make follow-ups on issues raised during the same business? Because quite often you will hear people still complaining about issues which were raised in business time back and of which no response has ever been made. To what extent do they follow up after each and every interview? Thanks.
I'm so good.
Thanks, Chair. One is Dr. Smell again. In addition to the point raised by Madam myself about the issues, can we get a full organogram with a breakdown in terms of gender and race to get the full level? Because I understand if they have a program, then it's quite a transformation of them.
I'm not sure if the minister wants to start or the one to take after the DG. After. Okay. Let's take.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks to the members for the questions. I think some of the questions were not directly related to us, but I will just generally respond to some of the questions.
Don't answer what is not related to you.
Chairperson, I think I wanted to respond broadly with the last questions that you were asking around our targets not being conservative. And I'm really glad that you're raising it because I think the issue of communication in government, I think at some point has to really be elevated to a point where the people who carry the pets can then appreciate it. Because there is no amount of convincing that communication in this day and age is not cheap. And even the targets that you are pointing at that they are conservative, indeed, we agree with you. But you also have to take a view of saying, do you do nothing or do you do little with what you have? Because some of the targets, we ourselves feel that, you know what, we could do more if we had the resources. But what we are presenting to yourselves is what our budget agrees to. 5 years ago, what determined what we have today was properly costed, was broken down to even the lowest of the lowest. If you want to communicate with a citizen, how much would it cost? And we took that with those figures to the people who carry the purse to say, this is what it will cost if we want to win the battle of information and knowledge and to get South Africans to be involved in changing their lives. Unfortunately, we were then told that there's no budget. Communication is not a priority. So at some point, with your assistance, I think we do need to put to the table the issue of saying we do need to do more than what we have here. So I would want to leave it at that, to say some of the targets we ourselves are not happy with. The issue of the social cohesion, I think I would agree with the Honourable Member. We ourselves, we often say something has to be done. You cannot have South Africans who don't even appreciate that they are South Africans, who you would find that a foreigner appreciates this country more than the South Africans themselves. And we do believe that we do have a role to play in the social cohesion. But unfortunately, again, it's doing it within the resources that we have. Because it's a function that we have to do irrespective of any political party. We have a responsibility for this country. And we agree with you, and I think we will do what we can within the resources that we have. The dissemination of the language that was raised by Honourable Member, I think one of the things that we pride ourselves with, we've got a tool that tells us exactly which community uses which language. We even have gone as far as having a relationship with the people with the disability, the sign language. We know exactly how much quantities of what we produce should be in Braille. So we can tell a department that seeks our advice to say we want to run a campaign in print with the problems of people who are not registering for grants or birth certificates. We can Google through our tool that we have that we will tell them immediately to say this community you would do better with Afrikaans, or this community you would do better with the Sotho. So we do have a tool that advises, it's a scientific software that we have procured. The issue of the studio, Honourable Member, I don't think we agree entirely with you in saying it is underutilized. It's one platform that we have a standing client base within the community media. We have a radio slot that is called Talk to Your Minister. And on a daily basis, 6 to 7 to 8, and at times, depending on which department you want to take 2 hours, we do that. We also have a daily slot for government news at 12 o'clock.
The radio is referring to the studios here.
Yes, I'm referring to. You mean the one that we have, our GCIS radio? Yes, we have actually two. We've got one here, and we also have one in Pretoria. It is working, but if you ask us whether can we do more with it, we would want to do more. But unfortunately, we don't have the resources. When we conceptualized our communication at some point, when we tabled it to Treasury, we saw ourselves having a daily program where we talk to South Africans without really worrying about other platforms. We wanted to have our own platform, and we still believe that platform is relevant for us. If we can be given resources, we see ourselves as we move forward, increasing our presence in that platform. Vacancy rate, I think we're one of the few departments that have been even awarded a prize for sticking to between 4% and 6% vacancy rate. We do not have a vacancy rate. The same applies to performance agreement. It's one department that has 100% performance agreement and assessment. So we are on top of that. And then Harold can respond to some of the issues, and Nev can talk to the Tucson Center. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just in general, one needs to appreciate that the GCIS, when it was established to run a communication system. And this is as it relates to the relationship with the communication unit in the department. We see ourselves as a system, and ours also, we speak about coordination, we speak about updating and so on. So
So if we produce messages, ours is to ensure that each department has collected to those messages and those messages are used. So we don't, we operate under the doctrine of the same message, different than many voices. And that is the essence of it. And each one of those reports directly to their own department. But ours is to try to say, how do we get a cohesive message out there? I also want to weigh in on the issue of the language. We print bulletins. We firstly conduct scientific research. We know which area, where people are, who is there, and who do we need to distribute to, and what type of language do they require. Secondly, we also make sure that we follow the instruments that are established by industry. And these are your LSMs, your language practitioners, and so on and so forth. And these industries will be able to, they produce on regular basis reports that will tell you that there's a mass migration of a particular group. We should not only assume that it's KZN and it's only people who are speaking Sudan English. They'll be able to tell you that there's a particular sizable community now that speaks a particular language. So if you want to compete, you target those. So we are very much mindful of that. The issue of the studio, just to add to what Fumla was saying, that it's not only for the broadcast. Some of the radio adverts that you hear that have been produced by government, we record them from there. So if we need a language practitioner to record an advert on social grounds, and the person that we can get is based in Cape Town, they come here and record from here and they transmit it straight to Pretoria. So it's also for recording purposes, it's also for drama, it's also for adverts, it's also for the daily news. We have two news daily and they are produced from here. And then we have obviously the running of the show. But also, this also speaks to the issue of the target again. I can't emphasize it more. That for us to be able to be bold and quite big, we need to do that within the available resources. Now, if we're going to be able to say we're going to have hundreds of radio shows, Chairperson, you'll be the one to hold us accountable and say you only done 14. What has happened? Because if we project that, a lot of what we do, we operate as an agency. So as an agency, we depend on a lot of people coming to us to make a request to use our services. Now, if only 10% of those have come to us to use our services, and we have over-projected, unfortunately it's going to be a dismal report, and I'm sure the Auditor General will also be on our case. So it's also quite important to do so. On the issue of content, I agree with the Honorable Member that when you ask somebody to write, you have to pay them according to what their writing capability and the material requested for. But before I give you the figures, let me just say that a lot of the content we produce is not only the content that you see in publication. There's a lot of content that we produce that gets to be used elsewhere. Some of it is populating the very same government website that is quite active with speeches, content of statements, documents, fact sheets, and key messages, and so on. So there's a lot of content that is being produced, including the news. This very same institution is the one that does the radio news that and the SA news that is producing all of that content. But I can tell you right now that 40 million, 30 million of it is consumed by the printing and distribution of the government newspaper. We took that decision very consciously that we want to make sure that we are in every hand in our community within our available resources. Because we also have an appreciation of the fact that not all media or the media have got all our interest to touch, go and distribute our information. We call this unmediated communication. We want to make sure that we are in every hand. So we want to distribute to every South African as much as possible. To print, it takes about 1.4 million to print 1.7 million copies of Vukuzenzele a month. And that includes the different languages translators, and also the Braille version. And to distribute the very same number is 1 million. Just over 1 million to distribute. So in total, it's only about 2.4. I could calculate that and times it by 12 months.
you're talking 30 million. So it's not more paying the writers, but it's more paying the distribution. And we want to make sure, we try to make sure that that content that we produce is meant for the right people. And I think those are the main points that I've been asked to deal with. Thanks.
I want to answer a question that relates to entities.
We have questions with entities. Sure. Yes. Okay. Thanks. I'm going to answer the question on the Tucson Service Centers. Just to introduce two members, the Tucson Service Centers are one of the best programs that we think have been introduced by this government, because they are there to address issues of access to services, to address issues of distance, to mention, because before they were established, people had to travel long, long distances in the rural areas to go and access services in town. We established two service centers, but we have big problems with the program. We are running a program that has never been funded. Funding for social media. The other thing is there has not been any legislation that enforces or forces departments or service providers to go to service centers. At the moment we have handled such centers, but we also have problems with them, because another thing I mentioned, funding, so it's funding for both establishment building as well as for maintenance. We have about more than 39 centers that are falling apart. We are reducing them because there is no money for operating and managing those centers. Departments don't have any obligation to go and service those centers. These are the things that we are dealing with at the moment. In 2009-10, we did a review that was done by National Technical Assistance Unit, as well as the Public Service and Administration, Public Service Commission also did the review of the Tucson. Three major problems: funding. It was also about coordination and governance, no legislation as I indicated, and also of operationalization. At the moment, what is actually happening is that Cabinet has instructed there is an interministerial committee that is working on the system. The partners are GCIS, Department of Public Service and Administration, Department of Public Works, COPTA, as well as National Treasury. There are talks, as we speak, between GCIS and DPSA, for the DPSA to look at managing and running them, also including looking at legislation that will enforce the system. What we do as GCIS is what we do by communicating and promoting. But, and a big but, also in promoting, we are very careful. We are not going to promote a center, let's say, in Katlehong, that is not working. Because we are not going to tell people, because if APP will say, market and promote all the Tucson service centers, and there are 180 of those. And we will come here in a quarter and say, of the 180, we have done less than. And we are not going to promote Katlehong. We are not going to tell people in Katlehong to go to the center, and when they get there, there are no services, there is no water, and the like. So these are the issues with regards to Tucson service centers. There was also the question about the how do we engage with the communicators and the like. And I think Harold tried to say some interesting. But the other thing is that I mentioned in my presentation that we do have the cluster coordination. Those clusters meet monthly, cluster communications. They do meet monthly, but we also have a forum of communicators, the government communicators forum. The communicators forum is at national level with all government departments, but at provincial level we have provincial government coordinators forum. At the district level there is district communicators forum, and at the local level is local government communications forum. That's where we plan and coordinate together for joint planning and for also for implementation of campaigns. But over and above that, we have a rapid response daily I mentioned in my presentation. If there are issues in the media space that have anything to do with, let's say, the Department of Agriculture or Department of Community, Department of Home Affairs and the like, we'll pick up the phone and engage
with the communicators in that department to actually come and rebut or in some cases to explain better what is happening. So we have a very good working relationship and engagement with the communicators. I can even say you say on a daily basis. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Kristen. I think there was a question raised about the disability issue, how far are we doing? I'm pleased to say that we are at 2.3%, which is above the national norm that we said that we should be at 2%. And we've got also a program which we call reasonable accommodation for people living with disabilities. We assist them ranging from assistive devices, transport, and we've got a fully fledged physiotherapist which we have employed on a permanent basis to take care of the needs of all those people. So we've got a fully fledged program to make sure that our disabled people are being taken care of. And the issue of women and representativity, I think we've got a fully fledged gender mainstream program in the department. We have a directorate that deals with a deputy directorate that deals with gender mainstreaming, and all our training programs are gender sensitive. We make sure that as we train people, we are sensitive of the fact that women also get an equal opportunity to make sure that they are trained. And the women representativity, I think my boss can attest to that, because she always fights with me to say, I can see that you are overrepresented in terms of women. And the requirement is that it should be 50-50 at SMS level, and I am at 54%, and she always gives me below 4 because she says it must be 50-50. So in terms of women, I'm even overrepresented. And as you can see here, at top management is 3 men and 2 males here. And then the entire organization, like the Honorable Lemba has said, the entire organization, we are at 52% women and 48% male. So which means we have even exceeded the 50% thing. And at SMS level, we are at 54% female and then 46% male. And I think if honorable members were able to watch the space about the 3 weeks ago, we had an advert in the newspaper where we were saying, no, we are overrepresented in terms of applicants and the like. We want a white male or a colored male to apply, because the danger is that we are becoming overrepresented and we want to manage that. So generally, in terms of gender representation, and racial representativity, we are doing extremely well. Thank you very much.
I was starting to be worried in the local. See, gender is not women. I will not go further, but I just wanted to caution. When we talk about gender, we don't talk about women. Talk about the balance. So you kept on emphasizing women, but it's a debate for another day. Minister, I'm going to allow you to respond, but just to clearly say that, and just to give you the figure of the earlier discussions in the morning, we have alerted to the members that the proclamation has not been made. Hence, you could hear at some point of asking members not to, to dwell into that matter, because I know both yourself and ministers where they will not be. Even if you privy to the final proclamation by the president. And I wouldn't want us as a community to get into that, because once you say something here, we are going to hold you accountable for it. So I'm just cautioning you. But once you start saying this is what belongs to me, we'll hold you accountable, we'll call you next week. Once the president says this, we'll ask the minister what informed you when you were saying 1, 2, 3. So we really record what you are saying here. So I just wanted to caution, knowing that it's the president's responsibility in terms of proclaiming entities and separation of what will happen in the department. So don't feel obligated to respond to that question. We have to repeat it to the president.
Thank you very much.
think the key question here is about the shipping of the packing. Maybe let me explain this to say there are only two acting vacancies. The other one arrived by the issue of Kumla acting on the CEO position and for the other person in the position. Also, the other position is the one that was indicated as vacant because it was not funded. That was the deputy CEO for communications and savings. So, the department has never been given any budget to be for the past time when this establishment of the issue of funding. And then, with regards to say, what are we going to do with regards to vacancy of the CEO? You are aware in terms they will not yet got the proclamation. Because our approach is that you feel that position today, because that position is at DG level, and you still need the new DG for the new ministry. So you will find yourself in a case where you are sitting with supernumerary officials, that's what we are trying to avoid for now. The process was put in motion, but we said, let's allow the proclamation and everything to avoid this supernumerary stuff that might arise. There was also a question on the issue of social cohesion and moral degeneration, linked with what you indicated and related in the strategy. But also we are saying, with regard to the SADC, there should be a wide-ranging MOU with the SADC. And we are saying this memorandum of understanding between SADC and GCIS has been long overdue. If you will recall that SADC has got extensive reach across the country with 18 radio stations and 14 television stations. And then we are saying, we have just approved the communication strategy in cabinet last week, which we'll share with members of the committee in due course, because with that communication strategy, we are saying, you might have seen programs like SOSIC, only the health department has tried to communicate a message. But if the Department of Arts and Culture has a similar program with the SADC, it was going to address the issue of health provision. And then with our discussion with the Minister of Arts and Culture, that's one thing that we have discussed so strong, the issue of our national pride. You go across other countries, you know, their flag is their pride. All over the flag is flying. It's flying all the time. These are the things in terms of our MOU, which we are doing with the Minister of Arts and Culture, that we need to deal with that. Also, that will address the issue of your national anthem, as you said, to bring patriotism so that we are proud of where we are. We want to revive that spirit that we have during the 2010 World Cup. That's part of our plan that we need to do that, so that South Africans are patriotic. And then there was a question on the issue of the effectiveness of the EZMBs. To say, I think we have done a lot of EZMBs since 20 years of democracy. Now we are saying with this new ministry now, we are going back to the people to communicate on the progress that we have made in delivering all those issues that they raised. So there's a need for us to redesign the EZMBs program to make sure that we use it now as a feedback process rather than going there to listen to the people. We have had the people over the past 10 years. Now it's time to go back and give them feedback. I think that's all I can say.
Okay, thank you very much, members. That concludes the presentation of GCIS. I'm going to ask us to take a 10-minute stretch, and then we come back and start with the next presentation.
Chair, I see when we got it this morning, we have a 100-page strategic report, strategic plan for the Department of Communications to interrogate before 5 o'clock. I think that is unfair. I would like us to perhaps postpone this until Thursday. I don't know what the plan is. But you cannot expect members of this committee to read a 100-page document in the next 5 minutes and then interrogate the department adequately on it. We are not able to do our jobs properly with this timetable. And I would really
so what you are basically doing, maybe just slow.
Okay.
Don't speak fast.
We were given this report this morning. This is the department's strategic plan. Okay. It's 100 pages. We cannot possibly read it, understand it, and interrogate it thoroughly within the next hour. I would like to request that we postpone it to the other day this week. Otherwise, this committee is going to do an inadequate job on this, and it's not fair.
Okay, let me just explain why, and it's not the responsibility of the department. The department has met its deadline. Why?
Secondly, is that the department, the team here, have flown in to come specifically for this. We knew specifically that when we engage from the moment that we are dealing with all this, honourable members. So our time, if we do not want to take break, we can start now, engage, go through. We will have, as members of this parliament, to engage with the presiding officers in terms of distribution of documents that have come late, not the responsibility of the department. They have met the deadline as set by the institution. So we are not going to make the department suffer and punish all the officials, because it's now what we are going to call the wasted expenditure. Let's schedule time to be here today to engage with the strike plan. What we can be able to be looking at, that fine mechanism they are going to be presenting, if we, as we engage with it, is adequate for us to be able to conclude the work. We can't meet on Thursday. We are not allocated to meet on Thursday as this committee. Our slot is Tuesday for communications. Telecommunications is Friday. That's why we have a meeting today, and we are going to have a meeting on Friday. And already on Friday, there are people that have been invited, those people that we have indicated. We do not have the luxury of time. We have a deadline that we must meet, as I explained to members in the morning. The luxury, we don't have the luxury of time. We must meet the deadline of the 11th so that Parliament passes budget by the deadline set as per legislation, that is the 1st of July, the same. Otherwise, no one can spend. So what we must be finding as members, and it shouldn't be at the expense of the executive. If the legislature has issues, the legislature must sort its issues out. That's my point, because I always say, if there are issues with the executive, I wouldn't want them to bring them to us as the legislature. The same way, if we have issues, let's not take them to the executive. They are here for presenting, for engaging. They are allocated today, and it's only fair for us to have them here, they spend most of the day here, in Cape Town, ready to engage with us. Honourable Member, I hope you are giving me a solution.
Yes, I am. Let us speak to Spanish until Thursday. Because I'm not blaming the department for this. We have been sitting for 6 weeks waiting for some documents to work on in this committee. 6 weeks. We have done
nothing.
Yeah,
postponement of the is not going to work.
Well, what we can't do today. Can you please give us 2 hours now to read the document and we'll sit here until midnight? It is not an inconvenience to the executive. We are the parliamentarians. We are paid by the taxpayer to do a thorough job of interrogating the strategic plan and budgets of the department. We cannot do it on the fly. Committee rules say that documents must be presented to the committee at least 3 days before they are presented. 2 hours before they are presented is inadequate. And I would really suggest that you please reconsider this. We can make it to time. We cannot do a proper job. This committee, which is honor-bound to the taxpayer, to actually thoroughly interrogate the department. It is our job, and I think that we must actually be able to do it properly.
Can I remember
to respect your rule on this particular matter?
Okay.
Honorable Member. Thank you,
Chairperson. I think we have adjusted the agenda in the morning before we started. The member was supposed to raise all what he's raising now before we started this. So let's continue with the business of the day and give us the breakers, Mr. Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay, members, we will break for 10 minutes. Come back. We proceed.
I'm going to grab the car and go. Hey, Majesto. What can I know? Phone again. Yeah. Hey, you missed a lot. Yeah.
No,
So now you want to register about controversial interview. Yeah, because so then I. I'm not sure if you're a man.
Nobody, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.